This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, welcome everybody in the USA and around the world. We are thrilled that you're joining us. Yes, this is Pete Caliendo in a studio in Chicago with our producer, Brian Kroc, from the Lineup Media Group. Another show, here we go, and we talk about technology. We're using technology now. We're going to talk about technology, but we're going to talk about one of the industry's most accurate swing analyzer and integrate it with automatic assessments, insights for players and coaches. This is a great product. Blast Motion. But before we get to it, don't forget, check me out. Check out baseballoutsidethebox.com. Spread the show to as many people as you can. We really appreciate it. We're getting at the top, man. One of the trackers had us fourth baseball best podcast in the world combined. I mean, we're talking about MLBs and we're talking about some other top podcasts. So we're really proud of it. Thank you to all your listeners. You guys are fantastic. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't get, you know, the show wouldn't be taken off. So, but we really need more help in getting out. We know it has a lot of good educational stuff, just a matter of getting in people's hands. Youth organizations, youth coaches, high school, college, pros, all levels. This is great for everybody, I believe. So check us out on Twitter. Also, spread that out. That spreads the show out at Baseball Out. And one more message before we get started, introduce our guest. I want to make sure that you know Caliendo Sports International is traveling to Italy, Cuba, and Japan, and we're looking for a couple more players on each team. You know, it's one of the best experiences in the world. It's different than any baseball experience you can think of. International baseball is outstanding. There's a lot of great learning going on, a lot of education. We have great coaches on staff and great competition. So if you're interested, email me, petercaliendo@att.net. And we've also got a softball team of young ladies going to Italy. What a great trip that is, too. So check us out. All right, Caliendo Sports, and let's rock and roll. We are ready. Let me tell you about the person right now that's going to talk to us about Blast Motion. Most of you are pretty familiar with Blast Motion, but we're going to get into the details of it and really how to use it as the product, you know, as a swing analyzer, but also how to help coaches and players become better at what they do. Our guest, Matt Tanner. He has been with Blast Motion. Now he's a channel manager. I'm going to let him explain channel manager. That's high tech for me. But he's been a channel manager for 2 years. He's presented just recently at the Illinois High School Baseball Coaches Convention. I missed him there because I was gone in Massachusetts speaking there. But I know Matt did a great job. I got a lot of great friends at Illinois High School. They said it was outstanding. His passion, now get this. He was born in 1979, so he's a youngster compared to me. But his grandfather, Chuck Tanner, the famous manager, We Are the Family, Pittsburgh Pirates, World Series team. I mean, what a great background to have your grandfather as Chuck Tanner. But Matt also played at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. He was a pitcher there. And then later on, he joined Blast, which now he has been with him a few years. And I'll let him tell you more about himself. But listen, let's get rocking and rolling. Let's welcome Matt to the show. What's up, Matt? How are you? And thanks to being on Baseball Outside the Box.
Hey, Pete, thank you for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. I know the channel manager title sounds a little more fancy than it is, but the reality is I'm just a coach like a lot of the guys that are listening for you. So I get to coach a lot of, you can talk about ages are relevant a little bit. I get to coach a lot of younger, mid-20 and early something guys that are here, work with Blast, all guys that come from a baseball background. So it might sound a little fancier than it is, but I just get an opportunity to manage and coach a really good group of guys here with Blast Motion.
Well, you know, but talking to you for over an hour last time, I got a great insight on you. You keep it very simple because, you know, it can – today, you know, the game's going fast, man. We talk about Blast, talk about other products, you know, technology and wording. And there's so much going on, you know, that sometimes it can get a little bit convoluted and misunderstood. And, you know, especially we all know that that, you know, and we'll get into it later. But, you know, the exit velocity and the launch angle and all this stuff sometimes, you know, can be a little bit complicated. But it really is pretty simple. And you keep it simple. And that's what I love about it. But let's do this first, because I want people to really understand the product, because we're not selling a product here. You are. What we are doing is we want people to understand the product really well, just as well as you do. But we also, because we know it's going to help them as a teacher when you're a coach, and it's going to help you as a player so you can teach yourself too, because coaches can't be around all the time. So let's get into how the product was designed a little bit and what it does, and then we'll get into the heavy questions.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. And again, before I jump in, I know I mentioned this last time, but I want to send a little shout out to Tony Gilio, who I know you used to coach in the Illinois area, and he's now the player development coach at the Slammers organization in the Colorado area. But I just want to highlight him because he put me in touch with you when I started with Blask almost 2 years ago over email. And it's neat to see that we're kind of full circle and have an opportunity to get on, you know, get out here and talk to all the coaches and the individuals who listen to your podcast. So
absolutely.
Before I even started, I want to say thanks to him. So
great.
But diving into your question, I'm going to give a real brief kind of history of how we got, you know, to the point where we're at, and then talk a little bit about what Blast specifically does from the hitting and swing side. And then that's where I think we can have some more fun diving into details about where technology is in the game. I think to your point earlier, Pete, you made a really good point. We're not trying to overcomplicate these things. The swing hasn't changed since, you know, my grandfather with Willie Mays and Parkers and Mantles. And, you know, so for us, it's really just simplifying that down for your coaches. But taking a few minutes to talk about Blast. So, you know, I think a lot of times people look at sports technology and they assume it's just kind of happened in the last couple of years. Blast has actually been around for over 7 years now. You wouldn't have really, you know, seen that because we were kind of in the beginning stages of the startup. But a gentleman named Michael Fitzpatrick, who's one of our founders, he retired from selling a business, and he's one of those scratch golfer guys and wanted to get his game up to that next level and wanted to see if there was any swing, you know, technology that would help him get over that hump. I kind of view it very similar to the guy who's maybe trying to make his high school team and he's trying to get over that hump and get on the team, right? See his name up on that tryout list, or if you want to go even higher level, that guy who's double A, who can't get quite, you know, can't get up to the big leagues. Like, what are those little steps you need to take? So Michael started to look for someone to invest with and met two gentlemen down here in Southern California, Michael Bentley and Ryan Capps. And I kind of joke, I want to be careful. I live in Southern California now, so you can judge my 4 and 8 year old for going to the beach all day. But I grew up in Pennsylvania, shoveling snow, just like you guys did in Illinois, hitting in cages all day long. So you know, I've been out here for 7 years. I've softened up a little bit, but you know, when I was a young, you know, kid playing little league ball, I was, you know, those snowstorms would happen in March and April and keep me off the field, right? So Michael met up with these two individuals, and they started to really look into swing technology and really how you can track the swing successfully. Eventually, we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what Blast does. I think that's kind of the next topic. But before I get there, you know, 4 or 5 years ago is when we started to make a pretty big splash with some of the big league teams. And it started small. I mean, to be quite honest, it started with one team and then two teams. And a big credit to Patrick Chevenley, who is now actually with the Indians organization in their front office, is one of their main analytics guys. But he came from a Callaway background and a swing background, and he was Blast Motion's, sort of keep it really simple for the audience, he was basically a very sports science guy. He watched, you know, kind of sports science happen on ESPN, and he was our guy, you know, tracking the swing. And he started to track, you know, sort of this raw swing data we have and actually start to put it into viable language that your normal coach would understand. Like, hey, what's happening with the success of a kid who's in A-ball 2 years later, he's hitting, you know, in a big league lineup, and what's the difference between a kid who can't get out of rookie ball, right? And to Patrick's credit, you know, and what they kind of came up with the fundamentals of the swing, you know, they were able to take some of this basic technology and put some player development around it. And Peter, that's what I'm going to say today, is like, hey, this isn't, again, your listeners are kind of diving in. This isn't anything that you all haven't been coaching and teaching forever. It just gives you a tool and some visuals for you to go ahead and make some slight adjustments, right? So that's sort of the history of Blast. The neat thing is over the last 2 years, you know, we went from, you know, a few major league teams to, you know, we're now working with our 23rd big league squad. So, you know, it's neat to see that obviously grow up in the big league side. It's also really neat to see us used in minor league as much as we're being used, and more exciting for me because I don't run our management on the major league side. I run it on the collegiate market down. You know, we're now working with over half the PAP, you know, the Power Five conferences, and even more importantly for us, we're now working with high school kids and, you know, U13 and U14 kids, to, you know, to watch them have success. So, It's been a really fast paced, 2 years for us. But it's neat to see where Blast is at today, especially when it comes to player development.
Yeah, and I've been checking you out a lot at Blast Motion on Twitter and also at Blast_BSBL. We'll put that all in the show notes. The folks, you can go to blastmotion.com, check out the website too. And what's interesting is, you mentioned golf has been, way ahead of us, and now baseball's kind of going in that direction. Mm-hmm. And this is all about player development, and it's also about helping coaches. One of the things I, wanted to discuss was, let's talk about the analytics. Let's talk about what, the Blast does when it comes to the numbers aspect, so people kind of have a feeling how it works.
Yeah, I think this is great. So I wanted to give you a little history, and I think more importantly is, for those that don't know, what is Matt, talking about from Blast? So, when we're talking about Blast Motion, it's about the size of a quarter or two, and it sits on the knob of your bat. So there's a little attachment that you wrap you put the little sensor in, and you wrap it on the end of your bat. And now what we're tracking, Pete, as soon as you make contact with the ball, we're tracking backwards the quality of your swing, so we can have some consistencies in your swing over and over again, right? Just like you mentioned golf, the baseball swing, and even being able to pitch is just that consistency. We're able to do that, right? So, mm-hmm. I know we're going to dive into a deeper conversation of launch angle and, extra velocity and all of that stuff. When you're watching your Sunday night baseball game and you see that ball come off the bat, and they tell you how fast it's coming off and how far it's going, and they might even give you that little kind of streamer looking, you see it on the golf stuff and now on the baseball stuff out in the right center or left center and tell you how long it is. For us, that's all the end result. So that's the last 5 minutes of a movie or that's the last chapter in a book. What Blast is doing is they're giving you the full story before that lets you get to that end result more consistently. And you and I will dive in a little more to how I and Blast feel about, the appropriate ability to hit a pitch. And we're not talking to ask people to swing up and swing out of their shoes or anything. We're looking for line drives. Mm-hmm. But now you're able, with our stuff, we're looking at all the pre-impact. So we're taking the process. So, hey, I made contact. We're working our way backwards where that bat starts up on our shoulder or wherever it is behind our head, right? And we're trying to create that process over and over to get to that end result. And that's, I think right now, people hear baseball technology and the first thing they think is, okay, well, this group's just another one of those exit velocity products. Well, no, we're actually the whole process before that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully allows for you to understand, should you be a guy that's trying to hit for power, or should you be a guy who's hitting, lasers and has got some speed, So we're really, I always like to just get that one out in the open and in the room early with any coaches or people that are listening, break down that little initial maybe tension that can sit there with technology and baseball where it's going, and understand we're just trying to create the best, strongest hitter and player that we can have, depending on where your level of play is and the type of player you are.
Yeah, hey, listen, here's what's interesting I love about this product is, it doesn't weigh anything. I got it in my hands, and there's no weight at all. It's amazing. This little thing can do all these things. And coaches, embrace technology, and I'll tell you why. Because I've been in the game 37 years. You'd think I'd be a little bit ornery and say, I don't need that stuff. But I do need it. Why? Because many times as a coach, I was guessing. I was doing my best educated guess, and this is what the player needs to do better or trying to help the player. This gives you instant feedback. It also tells you basically that you are doing the right thing, and that's what all we want. We want to make sure as coaches that we're teaching the right thing, and this will give you that feedback. And Matt, give us an idea of the numbers behind this. Like when we're taking a 12-year-old and give us some numbers that are good for a 12-year-old that kind of working into that, and also maybe for a little older player, so we know the numbers a little bit.
Yeah, so we're looking at a lot, and this is where it by no means does it get complicated, people. We're looking at a lot of different, data points. I always tell people, shrink it down. The same way you're working with a kid as a hitter, mm-hmm. and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I could give him, Pete, you got enough knowledge, you could give him 500 drills, right? But if you give him 500 drills, his head's going to be spinning before you walk off that field. Whereas if you give him just one thing to focus on and he can get some intent, I always say my 8-year-old, I just say, I want intent when you're out there on the field. Like, I just need you to see that your intentions were to act in an athletic movement, right? And that's really where I would say we vary depending on what the data looks like. So when you talk about a youth 12, right? let's use that as an example. You're a youth 12 coach and you've got a, you know, you've got a blast sensor on the end of your bat and you're taking swings with this individual. I don't want to complicate him with 15 different things he's got to think about that maybe these guys that are moving towards high school ball and into pro ball and can kind of critically think a little different. I want his intent to be somewhere. So I would really look at him as just what is his bat speed going to look like. A 12-year-old, we'll see bat speed vary quite a bit. You know, we've seen some kids are the kind of joke. I remember being 12 and some kids were growing mustaches and some kids were struggling
sure.
to wait on, right? Kind of one of those you get moments in life. But I'd say on average, you're going to get that 12-year-old swing anywhere from like 45 to about somewhat, sometimes all the way up to about 55 or 60 miles per hour. So, you know, really, I kind of use it as like a very quick snapshot, the same way that, you know, radar guns are not, you know, not a bad thing anymore. You watch the Little League World Series and they're telling you how fast those guys are throwing, right? Mm-hmm. So what I would want to do from the hitting side is just see if my kid's, you know, having the intent at the 12-year-old level. So maybe he swings, you know, 51 miles per hour when he's on a tee, but as soon as I get him to batting practice and someone's throwing the ball, he flinches. And now he only swings 42 miles per hour, right? There's something that's going on there with him. So from a coaching side, it allows you to put him in some different environments and kind of see, you know, hey, where is his intent with that velocity in the swing, right? Mm-hmm. Again, this is not over swing. I don't want to be very careful with your eyes. I don't want kids swinging so hard that they're falling down if they're stepping out of the box, but like we still want them to have the intent when they're in there to swing and try as hard as they can, right? As we kind of move up, you know, you talk about some different data points. I mean, if I had a kid who looked like he could be a college kid, you know, I'd start to look at some of the spots where we can kind of understand where you start your swing. So we find that a lot of kids have a tendency to start falling apart before they even start. I won't dive totally into that data point, but we call it early connection. We're just looking at kind of where your bat starts and your spine starts and making sure we're in a really healthy spot to start the swing. So you know, you got a kid who's kind of at like next level. And my dad used to tell me, hey, put the bat on your shoulder when I was struggling. I didn't know what that meant. Mm-hmm. But I thought I was Ken Griffey Jr. with my hat on backwards, you know, throwing my wrist all over the place. And I was probably putting myself in a pretty tough spot to start. If you don't start in the right place, you're not going to end in the right place, right? Mm-hmm. So as you kind of move up, Pete, I mean, my recommendation with blast, I got a really good friend, Todd Leathers, who I've been playing ball with since I was 8 years old. He now runs Locked In Baseball up in the Jersey area. But he and I talk two times a week when I drive into work. And when I started with blast, you know, it was just one light bulb moment. And then another light came on in the room. And then another light came on in the room. And, you know, over about 18 months, he went from, I get that and I like that and I want to coach to that, to, okay, now that I get that, I want to graduate over here. And I would recommend, I'll talk for all technology, not just blast, but, you know, you get a smartphone, however many years ago we got those, Pete, right? Like I still liked my flip phone. I didn't think I needed email. I didn't think I needed all this. Well, you start to learn what you need, right? Mm-hmm. Blast, I would say, is kind of the same way. It's like, so if I really had to, you know, dive in, you give me an opportunity to coach 10, 12-year-olds right now, and then 10, 14-year-olds, and then 10, 18-year-olds who are going to college ball, it might look a little bit different depending on where they're at, because your 18-year-olds who are going to college ball all probably already swing at a pretty high level. So now I want to make some different corrections, whereas my 12-year-olds might swing at all very different levels, and I want to figure out how I can get some more intent at some of the kids that maybe just aren't there yet. And your kids in the middle are kind of similar too. You know, hey, maybe we need to work on the plane path of our bat, you know, a little bit longer to figure out how we can, you and I, this is how we used to hear all the time, keep your bat in the zone longer, right? You know, how many times did you hear, keep your bat in the zone? Well, that's what we consider our plane scores, is your bat plane, how long you're able to, quote unquote, keep it in the zone and maybe foul a ball off, you know, when you're 14 and stay alive, you know, to drop a ball in somewhere. So it's going to kind of vary depending on your level and the talent. But I'd say there's not a coach that doesn't come on and start to use us, that doesn't get the support to make sure they can find that one area that they want to help their, you know, individual, their team, or their organization with.
Well, man, I tell you what, I got a lot of good questions here because I'm thinking, you know, I want to get to you explaining the attack angle, launch angle, and some numbers, general numbers, kind of give people an idea, because I know those have been misinterpreted. And I've been internationally where sometimes people have misunderstood what the attack angle should be in general, because you have different ages, as you said, and then you have the launch angle. But before we do that, exit velocity is now you pretty much have a pretty good idea, different ages, what a good exit velocity is, so guys can kind of gauge where they eventually should be when it comes to exit velocity, so they can build to that?
Yeah, I mean, again, we're primarily talking about pre-impact here, but when you talk about post-impact with exit velocity, we do have a camera system that it can allow for you to track exit velocity. And yes, I mean, all of our information, whether you're, you know, if you're a 13-year-old and you're trying to swing like a junior varsity kid, or you're a varsity kid who has, you know, aspirations to get to the collegiate game, you can set your skill level and it'll break down what the average is for that level, so you can understand that. So if you wanted to see what your average exit velocity is for a kid that's in the collegiate level, you can go ahead and try to track that.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. And then what I like about that too, there's a little competition, there's a little development goals, you know, and I know exit velocity isn't the ultimate thing. I know that's talked about a lot, but it's not the ultimate thing. The other thing is, it sounds like the way you were talking, okay, you've got all your analytics and all the numbers with this, and then with those numbers, you've actually got protocols, it sounds like, to make some adjustments, whether it be in the stance or whether it be in the swing, or whether it be some drills to help them along the way.
Definitely. I mean, that's something that was a big pivot for us when I came here 2 years ago, because we were primarily, you know, we worked our way through the major league market and we were kind of going down into the collegiate market. And then we knew after the collegiate market was going to be more of the youth market. And, you know, we kind of sat back and said, okay, I don't want to tell a coach how to coach. You know, here's some information and then you can use it however you'd like. We made a really quick pivot because we realized coaches, and this is a credit to baseball coaches, coaches love to share more than any other sport that I've ever seen. They get information. They don't hold it in, right? It's not like a defensive game plan from Bill Belichick and he won't tell you anything, right? It's like these guys want to share everything, right? So as we started to get through this and people were asking us, hey, what would you guys recommend? We realized us sharing actually is a very healthy thing too. We'd still always rather hear from our coaches, but what we're able to do, Pete, is you take a couple swings with blast motion. Again, it's all your pre-impact, you know, your information. Okay, how am I swinging when I'm getting to that ball? And now we can highlight where there's some areas maybe where you could have some marked improvement. And then there are drills that are actually in there for your individual player to work on his own player development. Or actually, if you're a coach and have an account, you can actually put your own YouTube or your own short 30 seconds in there. Hey, this is Coach Pete wanting to let you know if you're struggling with this one. This is a drill we've been using at our high school program or our youth program, and take a look. So yeah, we find it so important. I mean, I called myself up for being in the Northeast growing up. If I wasn't playing basketball season, I was running to a cage inside to try to hit. I grew up right near Penn State University, so I was using their facilities to try to hit, and you know, I was kind of blind to what I'm doing. I mean, it's 30 degrees outside and I'm in a, you know, averagely lit, you know, facility trying to just get some swings in. This allows for you to grab some of that information and make sure you're kind of training the right way.
Yeah, Matt, I got to tell you, I think you blast motion, you guys jumped to another level now. I definitely agree with you, because when you start getting into the development phase and you match it up with analytics, now it's a whole different ballgame. Now you're really, really getting into helping coaches and players. Because, you know, well, numbers are one thing. I think that's great, and I really believe in them. But, you know, I just didn't think that you could – it'll take you longer. You can use those numbers. You can take a look at them, and eventually you'll get the swing down. But with some good drills that you guys have produced to help out, I think, you know, that speeds up the process. Now, I got – two questions in one. One, pretty simple ones, I believe. One, I assume that, you know, hey, you can start using this as soon as you start hitting, period. And two, let me know, if you want to get true test of your swing, when's the best situation? Is it, you know, off a tee? Is it soft toss? Is it live BP? Is it game? I mean, where do I get my true testing at? And those are, again, two questions in one.
Yeah, so your first question is you can start right away. You're right. So you get, you know, the hardware, the sensor, you know, it's charged and ready to go. It's a really simple downloaded app on your phone and you're off at swing. So, you know, that's our goal when we were setting up the product, is to make sure that every time a coach had one of those ouch moments that we continued to alleviate those. And now it really is a super easy kind of start to finish to get your player up or get your guys up and running, right? And and that's the most important thing. We don't want to take – these are baseball players. They don't need to be lab rats, right? So we want you to get those on and just go be a player, and then we can start to look at where we can make some adjustments. And that actually leads, I didn't mean to have it this way, that leads right into your next question, which is, okay, I want my guys to be athletes and players. I don't want them staring at a phone all day long, right? So how do I go ahead and get them in environments that we can see where they need to make some adjustments? The reality, Pete, is like we recommend, and we talked about this, we have a great relationship with the ABCA, and we went to their Barnstormers events this past fall, 20 locations all over the country. But our specific topic, because we talk tech, but we also want to give them some information that can help them without technology, but really is assessing the swing, right? And where you want to assess the swing. Mm-hmm. And we talked about assessing the swing at a very low level of stress, which is kind of your tier, maybe your front flip work, an intermediate level of stress, which could be, you know, for some kids could be pretty aggressive, get it over BP. For other kids, it might not be get it over, you know, aggressive BP, but maybe it's just, you know, getting it over and they can still make some contact. And then sort of that high stress level, which might be, you know, you got on a hack attack machine, throwing at high velocity, or to your point, live in game. To no one's probably shocked, you know, the coach wouldn't need technology to know most kids have a tendency to break down as they're moving through those stress environments, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can still, at 40, I can still hit on a tee, but you get a left-hander who can throw a cutter at 85 miles per hour, I'm a left-handed swinger. I'm ducking out of the way, and my leg's going to first base, and I'm grounding out all day if I even hit it, right? So we kind of encourage, if we can, and this is with or without technology, but Blast allows you to give those baselines, to see, hey, where does that kid start to have their individual struggles. We have seen some really interesting results. It's very rare where a kid's just not very motivated on a tee. I'm talking like high-level guys whose data actually is worse when they're on a tee, and then when they get in game, they're sort of a gamer who kind of just steps up, and they almost use tee or BP as like warm-up, and then their game swing's very different. But more often than not, we see the swing start to struggle when they're getting a game. And that's kind of the power and where we're at with kind of some of these collegiate and these professional programs or organizations. We're able, so there's three different ways you can take swings, but one of them is what we call offline. So as long as the sensor is charged, you can take 500 swings, and as soon as you get back to your device, it'll upload any swing you take. So our minor league programs are actually out there taking swings in single A and double A and triple A games, and they want guys to just be, you know, we kind of, you know, you hear this all the time, baseball dudes, just go out there and be a dude and swing. And then they're able to take some of that analytics and figure out, hey, where are they struggling? Today we knew we were, you know, facing a high-velocity righty with a cutter. We can go ahead and start to understand that. I talk about kind of the extreme levels of high-level college and you know, ball. It's like, you know, from the MILB level, but same thing happens at the high school level. You know, when we get kids let's even look more at the 13- or 12-year-old level, you got a kid that throws with velocity, the whole swing starts to change, right? I mean, it goes mm-hmm. from a kid who looked very comfortable in the box to a kid who looks – you know, borderline frightened. And it's like, hey, does that bat speed go down? Do they start doing things because they're afraid they're going to get hit, or it's just a velocity they've never seen? Now we can take some of that in-game or that live sort of data. So we recommend getting an assessment all the way across the board from that low mm-hmm. level to high level.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to figure out where that individual starts to struggle. And a lot of times you don't need to go – if he's always great on a tee and he's pretty good during BP, and we don't need to spend a lot of time there. We got to figure out what area they break down and try to sort of encourage some player development in that assessment, you know, right there where they're starting to have the issues of breaking the swing down a little bit.
Now, in some areas, I mean, sometimes these can't be used in games maybe because it's illegal, but they can be used in practice games.
Exactly. So it all depends from a high school level where it's sort of the Wild West, meaning some counties don't let you, some do, some
sure.
you know, leagues or districts won't, so it's all different. From the collegiate level, to be very honest, we're not approved in-game.
Sure.
But so what the collegiate market likes to do is have their inner squads, or they have, you know, a hack attack throwing 95, and they can actually get some assessments on that. And then from the MILB, we are approved in-game, so those can be used
wow.
in any minor league game.
But, you know, what's interesting is I could take the in-game stuff, and I love the part about the offline, 500 swings, and then look at, you know, hook it up later. I could take the off stuff because that's the true test, you know, in a game, in a practice game, a real pitching. I can take those numbers. I can see my velocity. I can see my angles, you know, and we're going to get into the attack and the launch angle in a minute. I can, because I'm seeing that at real time, I can see what I need adjustment-wise, and I can train at that same speed when I'm training, whether it be soft toss or tee, because if you're going to hit at that same speed in a game, then you've got to practice at that same speed, and you got to know what that speed in a game would be.
Exactly.
Makes sense?
I mean, when you're looking at – oh, no, completely. I mean, I think what they're really trying to do more and more with assessments is make it as real as possible. You know, the sure. get it over BP days are still very important to get your body and your kinetic movement going. You know, hey, I'm moving and I'm functioning how I need to today. My barrel is seeing the ball, you know, hit a few times, and that's all very good. I don't think the last thing I ever want to say is there's not a value in that, because I think squaring the ball up a few times at a lower level of stress is a very good thing, because you get that feel going. But then when you have to start reacting, you know, like in a real swing in a real game, you know, it's quite a bit of a reaction, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, what does that look like? And we can bring it back and start to make adjustments. And to your point, Pete, we can practice to that, what that game felt like, so we can create more of a in-game feeling as we practice to actually get back in the field and step in the box.
Absolutely. And now I want you to really get into the two areas, attack angle, launch angle. Simply what they are and why they're important, both of them, you know, how you kind of use those.
Yeah, so to break this down really simple, attack angle is how your bat is attacking the ball. So how the barrel of your ball is hitting, or how the barrel of your bat is hitting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Launch angle is the degree that comes off of your bat. Like, so I could attack a pitch in theory in a negative downward swing, meaning if the ball, imagine you make a fist with your hand and that's the ball. Imagine take your other hand and almost chop down on your fist. That would be a negative attack angle. But the reality is you're still hitting that ball up into the air, which would now be your launch angle, which could be a positive degree. It's kind of like that old backswing spin.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to talk a little bit today is, and I know there's a little bit of back and forth on where people sit. So if someone is on that side of the fence, you can coach to that. We're just talking about specifically what we're seeing and sort of like a, you know, there's no, our view of the swing is more data driven. It's not saying like, hey, you can be right or wrong either direction, but what we're going to talk about is attack angle. So again, remember, attack angle is how your bat's attacking the ball. Launch angle is how the ball is leaving your bat in degrees. So when we look at attack angle, just to give you some of that concept, a fastball comes in around negative 8 degrees. So you'd think that would be the case. The ball's coming off the mound down, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea is if we're able to take our barrel of the bat and, again, do that same fist, and now take your right or left hand, whichever one's not the ball, and hit just slightly not middle of the ball, a little bit below, you're going to have a slightly positive attack angle, meaning you hit the ball a little bit slightly underneath it. If you hit the ball square in the middle, it's a 0 degrees. If you hit a little underneath it, it's going to be a positive degree. Now, why I've taken so much time to break all this down is if this pitch is coming in at a negative angle, we're looking to slightly match that with a positive attack angle. And this is where I want to be careful, because I'm not asking someone to drop and try to take this very aggressive ball, you know, swing where they get super underneath the ball. Actually, when we see people do that, if they're very early, they'll actually ground the ball out. They'll hit underneath the ball, you know, on top of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're looking at how you attack a pitch to be anywhere from about 0 to about 15 degrees of attacking the ball with your barrel. So slightly in the middle of the ball or slightly a little bit underneath, but I want to be careful underneath, because what we're really doing is matching our bat path, which the pitch path, which will create a slightly positive attack angle. And again, attacking, when you think of attacking, I think attacking the ball, right? The bat is now attacking that ball in one moment of time. You know, the idea is for us to figure out the ideal attack range for who you are, and that's, again, where you think, you know, Pete, I've been mentioning, I'm not even very careful. I'm very honest to say there are some kids who can attack the ball differently than others. Some kids
sure.
can attack the ball slightly a little bit more underneath it, because a pop-up for them is a home run.
Sure, others, they're stronger, yep.
They're stronger, yeah.
They're generating more speed, too, probably, right? More bat
speed. Exactly, yes. Exactly. So they're generating more bat speed, they're sequencing more correctly, and now this collision of the planets of this bat and the ball, they're able to have an attack angle that is a little bit more slightly positive, because their ball, in theory, would have a larger launch angle and in return be able to get out there, you know, get out of the park or get into the gaps, right? But mm-hmm. I think what's kind of unique about blast and the kind of where the aha moment comes in is maybe you do have a kid who tells you he's a power hitter and his attack angle is, you know, over 15 degrees, which is something we wouldn't recommend, and he's hitting fly balls all day. All he needs to do is make a very, very slight adjustment to see some success, where now he's hitting, you know, lasers over the shortstop and second baseman's head versus hitting lazy fly balls, you know, into right and left center, right?
Mm-hmm.
a pretty neat story because this is story time, right? Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman, I won't give his name because I don't have the right to talk to say his name, and I don't want to do that, but there's a gentleman who's playing in the Cape Cod. We have all the Cape Cod data, and then he also played at University of Arizona. We had all of his University of Arizona data also, and his dad called and said, hey, I really want to thank you. My son's having a great year in the Pac-12, and it looks like he's going to get drafted in the first 10 rounds. So obviously he's a Cape Cod kid, so he's already pretty talented, but we wanted to see what was the difference between what he did up at the Cape and what he was doing at University of Arizona. His swing was perfectly sound every other spot. He just slightly changed his attack angle. So when he was up in the Cape, he was swinging slightly down on the ball, which really meant he had this pitch is coming in at -8 degrees, his fastball, and his bat's moving down, and he had a limited moment of time to sort of make contact. So he struggled. He hit like 160 up there. He made a slight change to his attack angle where he got back into that between like 3 and about 10 degrees where he's attacking the ball, and now he hit almost 400 in the Pac-12. What I'm saying about this is that sometimes these adjustments aren't drastic. He went from about a -5 degree attack angle to a +5 degree attack angle. I mean, that is the simplest, slightest
sure.
in his swing. He just made this very small adjustment, and it was the difference between hitting 160 and, you know, through the summer and really wondering where his swing was to going into the Pac-12 and raking. And I just think you kind of joke about age, so like I'm 40, I'm still old school. I grew up playing American Legion ball. I didn't go to showcases. Fortunately I got the pitch, in the ACC. That was a long time ago before all this stuff. But it was so much, hey, do you feel this? And my two boys are very visual. It's a totally different time and space. And now this young hitter who was 20 in the Cape Cod can actually see, okay, I made that slight adjustment. Let me stay there. And you can see if he's doing it over and over again. And it's not just us. I mean, there's so many more variables for him to have a season like that. But it was exciting to see that he made a little tweak in his swing that was able to make him more successful.
Absolutely. And also, with today's kids, look, let's just face the facts that, kids love technology. They're on it all the time. Why not use it? It's fun. It gives them a visual. If you're in a cage, you don't see the ball going that far. But if you look, all of a sudden, you notice your numbers. That's pretty cool. I mean, let's just face it. It's fun. It's good. It helps kids. Here's the other thing I want you to get into. Why if you've got good attack angle, why is the launch angle so important, the numbers?
Well, so if we're timing, the idea is, when I say launch, because attacking against screen set, so launch angle is post impact. You still want to have a somewhat positive launch angle, and there still is a range there that you want to be in. So when you get that attack angle correctly, we're now going to be driving the ball. And again, I kind of tell guys all the time, like, hey, we want to drive the ball, like where we're trying to, like, knock off the shortstop and second baseman's hat, right? Like if we can drive, we can knock their hats off. Now, if I get underneath it a little bit, and I'm talking a little bit, Pete, I'm talking like I can't, put three hairs together, and like that's all the more we kind of missed it a little bit that way. We're still going to have a good, somewhat positive launch angle off of that attack angle that allows for us to get balls in the gap. There's still some value in putting the ball on the ground and moving a runner over. I'm absolutely not saying play for the 3-run home run all day long. But what we're looking at with this attack angle and this launch angle is like, hey, we want to drive the ball, line drives. And then as we get stronger, we're the type of kid that can hit there. So where it is positive is like, as these guys move up, and, they do want to hit for some extra base hits. You see a couple of balls that find the third baseline for two bases, or you find one that flares over the first baseman's head and you get the second. But more often than not, the guy who's standing on second base is the one who drove it in between left center and right center, right?
Sure.
So that's the idea. It's not pop-ups. It's not to drop our shoulders and to lose ourselves. It's not to be over-swinging up. It's to drive the ball. When you're able to get that attack angle on the ball, matching a nice, driven launch angle, now we're shooting, it's almost like a stand at home plate, throw the ball for a hit. Would you try to throw a single between first and second, or would you throw it over the second baseman's head? You'd throw it over the second baseman's head, right? So kind of, I don't know if that would help your audience kind of understand where we're trying to sort of create that attack and that launch angle is to like, hey, let's hit lasers over all these infielders' heads. That's a much harder area to get to than a ball that may or may not get through a secondary or a shortstop and a third baseman, right?
And all the numbers are going to show you if you're struggling hitting pitches away or pitches in, those numbers are going to – well, first of all, you can see it in a lot of ways, but you could also use the numbers to determine, I may have felt like I hit it well, the pitch away, but it really didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be on a more – we don't particularly know where the ball is every swing, but you, if you were in there working with a coach, like I mentioned, my good friend Todd, who's in the jersey, when he's working with a he was a UPenn grad, now he's on the Mets minor league system, and he realized that he would struggle with particularly some of the blast motion data on balls inside on him. And the balls away, he was able to kind of get to a little bit easier. So he started making some small adjustments on the inside pitch because he realized that's where his deficiency was when it came to his swing. Yes, I mean, the data showed that he struggled, but what the data was telling him was you're going to struggle in this year if we don't make some small tweaks. I go back to that story about the gentleman in the cape. Like, he didn't need to go make a drastic swing change. He just figured out how to keep, long story short, to keep his wrist a little bit tighter. He was kind of unhinging his wrist a little earlier than he needed to. And now he is able to sort of increase some of the data that he was trying to do on the inside pitch. So we don't know the pitch speed, just to be careful if anyone's playing with us. But what we can do is if you put a kid in the environment, put him on a tee away, a tee in, or you got someone throwing BP in on him all day or away all day, you can see, hey, boy, when we went in on him, his numbers really fell apart. When we went away, he can handle that pitch all day. And to be honest, most coaches kind of already know that. You know, it's funny. We'll see something and go, this guy struggled with balls up, because the data will kind of show that maybe he's getting in a bad early spot. And they're like, oh, yeah, he always struggles with balls up. So you can start to kind of see it if you're living it as much as we are. But coaches know, hey, this guy always struggles in. This just allows you to give your player, hey, you know, little Johnny, I've been telling you forever you struggle in. This is actually, look right here. I'm not just making up a story. Like, it's right here for me.
Sure.
To kind of own with you, you know?
Yeah, my kids nowadays want to know. They want to see it. They want to, you know, confirm it. Listen, I really like – I like a lot of things about the product, and obviously it's great for all hitters in baseball, all levels. But to me, as I talk about on the show a lot, the youth level is the most important. The youth coaches are the most important. They can really use this. And I'll tell you why, because when I taught – you know, we overtaught, there's no doubt, we overtaught the mechanics. They called them mechanics at that time. Now they call them, you know, movements or movement patterns and all that. And we overtaught that. And sometimes, you know, it's a mental game. And it really affected the mental aspect of the game because we thought too much about our swing. What's great about this, you mentioned that you used the word sequencing. This actually teaches you sequencing without actually doing anything. I mean, except using the product, swinging, and using your protocols, which are some of your drills.
Exactly. We're trying, again, I think a lot of times it's sports tech or baseball tech's complicating the story. I'm like, we're going the other direction. Like, we're keeping this as simple as you can. You see a little something that's wrong, you try to make a change. And that's something that coaches have been coaching to forever. Again, it just gives you guys a little bit of a tool to understand that. So yes, we completely agree. That's our vision is like, well, I mentioned this last time we talked, so I think it's important for you to reiterate it. Data and technology is absolutely nothing without coaches and teachers, right?
Sure.
So they're the most important people in all this. But if you're able to take that data, help a kid understand it briefly, maybe not overwhelm him, but help him understand it, and then he's able to take that home and get the extra work that we all know is the difference between a kid who starts on your team and hits third and the kid who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
It's that kid that then gets the extra work. Has the right drills and the right focus they need on the other side, and then they're more successful. Like I was a gym rat as a kid, you know, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, tennis, golf, swimming. Like you had to give me a ball or something to do, or I was going to go crazy. And those are the guys who usually succeed. And now we're able to track that with Blast, that you're the kids that are taking the extra time.
And what I love about it, I'm basing this, I'm looking at it more from a volunteer level, you know, where the kids they only practice once or twice a week. They want to get better. You know, they don't want to go home and just swing off a tee because, you know, that's boring sometimes. You know, sure, they can set up targets and try to hit a target, you know, in the basement and all that kind of stuff. But this is fun because now they got the device. They look at the numbers. You know, kids can – I mean, it's fun for a kid to be able to do that on his own a little bit. And here's the interesting part. I think you had mentioned it. A coach can get these numbers at home and see that the kid's working.
Yeah, so if you're, you know, some of our high school packages that come on or let's talk to, you know, Tony Gilio, who's running the Slammers. So the Slammers are a 250, 300 player organization. every swing that's taken that week, Tony, as the player development coach, sees all of those swings. He actually puts leaderboards together that just highlight who's taking the most swings in a week. Hey, congratulations. He's a big mover. He or she swings the most, hits the most, right? It's like, hey, like that's his little quote that I stole and ripped off from him, so I got to give him full credit. But
yeah, Tony's good. Now, I like Tony.
Again, it's baseball. We all share, so it's fine.
Yes.
But the idea, yes, is that you have a kid whose family's on spring break down in Florida for a week, and you ask him, hey, can you get 50 swings in a day, or whatever you might need to ask. That information goes up to our cloud base and it goes into the coaches like kind of portal that they own. So you can track your entire team's progress, or at least that they're swinging and taking actions completely away from the restrictions of practice and seasonality and all the things that we run into as coaches.
All right, Matt, we're going to look at how you deal with pressure. I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's talk about, let's take a hypothetical. Let's take any age you want. Give me some numbers of that person, and then give me a protocol that's going to make an adjustment in that swing. Any drill or anything that you guys do?
Yeah, so let's use a 16-year-old who's playing varsity for the first year, maybe a sophomore, junior who's moving up, who might have the talent to even make that next step, whether it's low-level college ball or whether it's whether he actually that 16 to 18 is a really weird age for boys, right, on how they mature. So the couple of areas that I would look with this kid, let's use that early connection, Pete, that I was talking about earlier. So when I talk about early connection, I'm going to try to give a visual for your audience. Because we know we're taking that impact and we're telling a story backwards, we know approximately where your center of gravity starts. What we find with a lot of 16-year-olds and kids that just in general go from the Little League field to the 60-90, they have a tendency to get caught in what we kind of consider a barrel tip, or like where they're almost swinging that barrel over their head before they even start, meaning they're kind of tilting it towards the pitcher in order to create enough momentum to actually drive the ball, right? Mm-hmm. So we're kind of getting caught back there. Don't almost think it like we're Julio Franco, for you guys that remember Julio Franco. Think about how that bat looked like it was kind of over his head. The reality is before Julio Franco went, he got back to a very good position. He just liked to start that way. But if he started that way and got caught, he'd be in a very tough spot to then be able to rotate and sequence in the right spot. So that particular kid who I'm looking, who has an early, the start of his swing is already breaking down. I do a couple different things that I would recommend. One, I went back to, I told you, that bat on your shoulder drill, right? Like I go ahead and put that bat directly, just simply leave it on his left. I'm coming from the left swing. So put on your, from the left side, so put on your left shoulder and just take a couple swings right off your shoulder. Don't leave it on your shoulder, start on your shoulder and just kind of lift up and then take a swing. And now let's get this quiet, all that pre-swing motion a little bit, right? And then once he starts to feel that a few times, I don't mind him going back to wherever he needs to get comfortable. That's fine. But let's remember what that felt like when you started on your shoulder. The other thing I might do to him, to be quite honest, I wouldn't hand him a heavy bat where it's going to be so heavy that he can't swing it. Maybe he's someone who's been swinging with aluminum his entire life. I might give him a wood bat, right? It just feels a little different. It's a little bit heavier. A lot of guys who don't want to start in the right spot when they start, you get something a little bit heavier, they'll start to quiet their swing back there because if they get a little too handsy or too wiggly back there, they can't get to the ball. So I'd throw some BP to him with a little bit of a heavier bat and say, okay, look, that ball is getting by you. Or I might even do a little faster underhand toss, right? Like not something where it's so aggressive that he's like, oh, wow, now I'm doing live, in-game with 5 extra ounces on my bat. But something where we can get him to get back to that comfortable spot, because if we're messing around in our pre-swing, we're never going to be able to sequence correctly. We're never going to be able to rotate efficiently. Most of the efficiencies that we see in the swing start with where you start your bat and start moving forward. And at that point, now everything is a challenge. So I just picked sort of that 14 to 18 range, because usually when kids jump to 60-90 is when they start to do some things pre-impact, or not necessarily pre-impact, but pre-swing before they even start, to try to create some energy. And a lot of times they'll kind of get themselves caught in the wrong spot before they even start their downswing.
Yeah, that was a too easy of a question for you. I had to give you a harder question. That was a great job. You did an awesome job on that. And I wanted to bring that up, one, for coaches like myself to learn a little bit. Because, again, people sometimes look and say, well, Blast is a product. That's great. I could use it. No, it's not a product only. It's more than a product. It's a service. There's instructional work, there's development, there's a lot of knowledge here, and that was awesome. So when you speak at a, like when you spoke at the Illinois High School Coaches Clinic, you know, you didn't just present the product and show them what they did. I mean, you also gave them feedback on some of the things that occur in the actual swing and how to make some adjustments.
Exactly, and that's what's kind of fun about working with BLAST. I'm not, you know, we're not here to push down, you know, an agenda of BLAST. We're here to talk about just the swing and what we're seeing, right? And that's fun because that's just baseball guys talking to baseball guys. And you know, Pete, to specifically real briefly what I spoke on there, we talked about that on plane efficiency, which kind of that bat in the zone longer, right? Because we were able to take that impact and figure that out. So I talked a lot more in depth about what that looks like. I talked about that early, what we call connection, or really where you start your bat and your spine behind your head, or we get a really healthy spot when we start. And then when we make contact, are we in a really healthy spot? So we're looking at your kind of your connection to your body and your bat with regard to when you start your swing and your end. And then finally, we just go ahead and say, are you rotating and using and sequencing efficiently and rotating efficiently? And that's exactly what some version of what we've been telling kids for 150 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's neat to talk at Illinois. And obviously, my grandfather has roots to the – he managed the White Sox before he managed the Pirates. So, you know, I think some of the gentlemen who maybe remembered, you know, kind of a different generation than where the game's at now, were able to kind of just listen in and take it, you know, with a little bit of an open mind on where things are going now. And gosh, in 2020, right? Crazy 2020.
Absolutely. And listen, I don't want you, I know you can't give away trade secrets, but I'm going to ask you about maybe what you see in the future for BLAST, also maybe technology in general. You could answer however you like. At the end here, we're almost there. I'm going to give you the mic and say, hey, tell us something that you really want to talk about that I missed, that I didn't ask about, that's very important. But before we do that, you know, people know I'm on social media a lot. And one of the things that recently, and not recently, but a long time, for a long time, I get a lot of hitting guys, you know, that I follow. And they're all fantastic. I learn a lot. The one thing I don't hear as the first thing spoken is the vision aspect. Now, I realize this isn't a vision product, but is there the ability in the future to combine this with vision? Because that would be an incredible impact, I would think, when it comes to the development.
So you hold an awesome bucket of worms. I could talk forever for you now. But to your point, though, there's like, this is what we even say at winter meetings when we're talking to major, you know, clubs, like, you know, the big league squads, we just say we're one part of all this. So I think vision is super important. I think approach is equally as important as any, you know, any technical swing data you can do. If you're a kid who has technically a great swing, but every time he's 1-1, he's going to swing at any pitch, no matter where it is, and then you're sitting 1-2 the entire time, you're going to struggle. The pitcher has the advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So going specifically into vision, you know, we are starting to have more conversations with a lot of these different technology companies about how the software can all start to talk together, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, what if someone, you know, put them in an environment where they're actually seeing, you know, maybe some mock pitches coming in, you know, gosh, with the stuff that Win Reality is doing, I could list a few others, like some of these vision stuff where they can actually see, you know, they can get, this looks, you know, ours actually makes you still feel like you're just on the field because it just sits on your bat. But like, if you truly get in the lab, I mean, these guys have virtual reality stuff on, they're swinging, their eyes are operating with how they're swinging and how their motor skills are working with the technical part of the swing. I think it's really neat. I think it's, I think we need to be careful to make sure, again, athletes are athletes. But I do think the vision has a correlation a lot of times with how well you're able to swing, and then in return you add approach, and then you add what's going on in their personal life, and are they a mental case, you know, like you put all that together, and all of that plays a very factor. Again, we're just one tool that hopefully allows for you to use this to get, you know, you get one kid, my wife's a school teacher. If she gets one kid better a day, she's had a really good day. She's got 20 kids screaming at her all day. So if one had a good day, it's a win. I think it's kind of the same way as a coach. You walk off that field today and two kids had an aha moment for you, and BLAST was able to help you with that tool, it's a win, you know? Pete, I could go forever, but vision, going back to like, you know, BLAST in the future. I think we kind of talked about this last time, but I think it's a really interesting topic. It could be its own podcast. But what we're seeing from the scouting and recruiting side of technology just in general, I want to be careful because the character and the eye test and the, you know, the who that young gentleman is still equally as important as the data. That they're not looking past a kid who's a troublemaker. They still want the best guy. But you know, we were just up in actually in Chicago at the Prep Baseball Super 60. And
yep, saw that on Facebook. They're all over Twitter with that. Yep.
Yeah. So and I want to just give us credit. There were 5 or 6 technology companies up there, and it was full of 120 scouts. And I can tell you, big league teams who go out with sensors right now, and they show up at a high school game, and they've got a kid they want information on just to get a baseline. They're handing over a sensor. So, you know, this showcase world, or you know, this radar gun world, is true. And you know, just because you've got parents on here, you've got players listening on here, Pete, you've got obviously a lot of coaches listening on here. I mean, if nothing else, give your kids, you know, the advantage of when they're now stepping into kind of their next level. You might not have a lot of D1 guys, but maybe you got 1 or 2. They're going to be put in with Rapsodo pitching. They're going to see blast motion pre-impact. They're going to see extra velocity, launch angle. They're going to see vision stuff that you're talking about. You know, they're going to be their vision's going to be tested. I've been on some really cool college campuses, say the Stanfords and TCUs and Baylors and UCLAs, and it is remarkable how different it looks. I graduated in 2002, that's 18 years ago, and believe me, it didn't look anything like that. And I was at some really cool ACC schools all over the country, and it's been a short 18 years. So my you know, my take on all this is, and where I'm going, kind of this long-winded monologue here, is like, this isn't stopping, even if it's maybe not for you. And just take, you know, an opportunity to educate yourself just a little bit, because if you're a player or a coach or a parent of a player, mm-hmm. they're going to be evaluated on data, and it's just happening now, and we're at the tip of the iceberg here. In another 5 years, I think you're going to go showcases, and you're going to get spit out a full data report, and that's going to be what, you know, your scouting and recruiting is starting their baselines on, and then, you know, what your character's like, what your grades are like, you know, what type of kid and character you have will be the next part of it. But that's a very real change in baseball that has been very interesting to see. And even my 2 years here at Blast, it is very much moving a lot faster than I thought over the last 18 to 24 months.
All right, Matt, great stuff, man. Love to see what's coming in the future. And lastly, and we'll close it off, my good friend, we've got anything that you just, I know you mentioned a lot now, but if there's something else that you want to talk about that we kind of skipped over that's important, your time, and then I'll close it off, man.
Yeah, I mean, nothing, a lot more than a thank you, and just to let coaches know, you know, or anyone that is interested, I mean, you can get the stuff on Amazon or on our website at blastmotion.com, but more importantly, if you're interested in a true team package, that you could fill something out on our website, we do have discounted team packaging. I think a lot of people look at, you know, the piece of technology is like, oh, wow, I got to go spend this much. You know, usually when it comes around per player, when we're doing a team package, they can kind of get all they need for about $150 for the entire year. And I know a kid who's really dedicated to get his game better between gloves and bats and balls and cleats and showcases and everything else. It's actually relatively affordable, but again, we have this amazing, great support and sales team that all comes from, I could start listing all of them, UCLA, Fresno State, Xavier, Miami of Ohio, UPenn, you know, Chapel Hill. All these guys are great baseball guys and softball girls that are happy to, you know, talk about team packaging. So I don't like the plug. I like to just talk baseball, but you know, if anybody really, you know, this resonates with anyone today and they say, hey, I want to learn a little bit more, like, just reach out and have a baseball conversation with us.
All right. Fantastic. And folks, we will have everything on the show notes at blastmotion.com. We got Blast Motion, at Blast Motion on Twitter. Blastmotion.com is the website. They've got a couple Twitters, actually, at @blast_BSBL. But we'll have all that up. Great stuff. You can follow up with Matt. He's fantastic. Matt, want to thank you, man. That's awesome. Great show. And I know we're going to have to continue the show another time because there's more to talk about.
Hey, thank you, Pete. I really appreciate it.
All right. That's Matt Tanner from Blast Motion. Thank you also. Matt mentioned him a couple times. Tony Giglio, great friend of mine, and he's also a Caliendo Sports International coach, goes internationally with us. Love having him. He is so good with players. So a shout out to Tony. Shout out to Brian Crock, our producer, the Lineup Media Group. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter at Blast Motion. We'll probably be together at Baseball Out. And don't forget our website, Baseball Outside the Box. share the show. We appreciate it. Thank you to all our listeners in the U.S. and around the world. Don't forget, there's the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge of status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and I'll see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.